What's Trending.
Number one on What's Trending is that we're continuing to broadcast here in St. Joe. Another day of Chiefs camp wrapping up, and our coverage is brought to you by Break Time, Missouri's homegrown convenience stores. Download their mobile app and find a location near you. Just a couple notes from practice today. Xavier Worthy was back out there. It turned out he did not have a concussion, according to Andy Reid. The Chiefs worked with the league as well to get him cleared. It was kind of interesting. He described really what had happened. They said that he had some liquid in his like neck and head area that threw off his balance, his equilibrium, and that's what maybe gave him some of the symptoms that he was experiencing. So he's fine. He's good to go. He returned to practice. We did not see Hollywood Brown out here today, still dealing with an ankle injury. And then towards the end of practice, Drew Tranquil strained his back, according to Andy. We don't know how serious it is. Given the fact that he's a vet, strained his back late in practice today,
he can take some time
he
off.
May not practice tomorrow.
And that's fine, honestly.
Totally.
Knowing where he's at in his career, certainly don't need to have him prove anything to me. Next up on What's Trending, of course, you know by now the deals the Royals made yesterday, acquiring Ryan Burgert, Stephen Kolek, Bailey Falter, and Mike Yastrzemski, who could all be with the team in Toronto tonight as they start a three-game set and a nine-game road trip. Royals, obviously, with an off day yesterday, did not complete it. But it'll be a new-look Royals, certainly tonight against Toronto. You can hear that right here on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Some stadium news. You may have seen it originally from KCTV 5. Two Missouri lawmakers and a third, you know, private citizen have filed a lawsuit in Cole County, Missouri, challenging the constitutionality of the Senate bill that gave incentives or would give incentives to the Royals and Chiefs to keep them in the Show Me State. This is something that just got filed, I believe, today, according to KCTV 5. It is mentioning that described in the bill are a direct gift or bribe to the owners of the Chiefs and Royals to stay in Missouri. The lawsuit takes issue with the more than $1 billion in state subsidies that would be available to the teams over the next three decades. This obviously is something to follow. We've seen lawsuits like this happen. I mean, honestly, I remember back with the sports betting stuff too, Cody.
Yep.
There was some lawsuits including from a private citizen as well that kind of went nowhere. But you do wonder, the more you see this, along with all the other issues, if you're the Chiefs or the Royals, you get to a point where you say, we're just not dealing with this.
We'll just take the Kansas money because we don't deal with the headache. Yeah, I still think someone's coming to that point. I'd still guess one in each state, but I mean, hell, I should be done guessing because I'd have for sure thought it was long done from now. Mm-hmm. Next up on What's Trending, a couple of unhappy NFL players. Yesterday, Terry McLaurin officially requested a trade out of the Commanders. I would point out that the last four players to request a trade at about this time of training camp were not traded before the start of the NFL season, so it does not guarantee that those players would go anywhere, including Deebo Samuel and others who eventually got out of town. Deebo, obviously, in Washington now, but were not traded before the season started. And Diana Rossini reporting earlier, Micah Parsons claims his relationship has deteriorated with the Cowboys' star pass rusher so much that he could include a trade request or even, as she put it, a declaration that he is severing his relationship with the team, according to multiple league sources.
Wow.
He's threatening a pre-breakup? You either go to therapy or it's over. He's saying, like, this relationship's so bad that I'm just going to stop talking.
Cowboys. It's the Cowboys circus that happens every offseason. Mm-hmm. I still think Micah Parsons gets a deal done.
Or Michael Parsons.
Or Michael, as Jerry calls him.
This
is the typical Cowboys contract negotiation. It becomes a circus. And then 24 hours before the season starts or the day of, remember, don't they play Sunday night? Or Saturday? I guess they don't play Sunday night football. They play that Thursday, don't they? They're the opening game of the season against the Eagles. Wednesday or the day of the game, you watch, they'll get a deal done. Next up on What's Trending, All-Star Game for 2027 was announced. The game will be at Wrigley Field in Chicago.
Sick.
That's going to be awesome. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, man, that's cool. That's a great spot. Are you kidding? Very interested in that. Is it? I think it's in Philly next year. So
yeah, it's in Philly to celebrate the birth of America.
The 250 years,
yeah,
right?
Yep.
So at least that side of it, which also makes sense. But Wrigley All-Star Game, that seems very cool. Lastly, on What's Trending, don't forget you can join us, Cody and Gold, and The Drive, broadcasting live from the Sportsbook inside Hollywood Casino on Friday, August 8th. That's right, we'll be live at Hollywood Casino. Will we be registering fans to win a signed Charles and Minnehue football, a pair of Chiefs Colts tickets, and you make sure to follow Hollywood Casino on Facebook, Instagram, and X. Enter their giveaway the day before on August 7th, and you'll have a chance to win $100 in pin cash on August 8th every hour from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. as we'll be live out there at Hollywood Casino. Talking to football. Baseball probably too, hopefully.
That is what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, broadcasting live in St. Joe. We'll get to JT's camp questions here in just a couple minutes, but another national show.
We got to do this again.
It was technically July when it happened, so that's why, because these are the kind of conversations that happen in July. This was First Things First, I believe, over on FS1, and they were having a conversation about coaches in the NFL. And one conversation led to another, and it got to a point where this statement was said.
I'm willing to say it's obvious when I saw them play, and one guy, the score was, what was the score at half?
Hold on. Can I ask a question then?
I'm not ready to say Nick Sirianni, who's been to two Super Bowls, and they just played a Super Bowl, and who could have had a better coaching job?
Hold on. Wait.
I would probably go with him.
I mean, hold on.
Yeah, I mean, I would go with Andy Reid. I'm just
saying, not obvious. No, it's an argument to make. Andy Reid's
obvious.
First of all, it's not obvious. You can't say it's obvious when they have coached against each other.
But so hold on. This is the question that I'm asking.
Okay.
All right, so we cut it off there, JT. That's that right there. Kevin Wilds says it's not clear yet. He's not ready yet to say definitively Andy Reid is better than Nick Sirianni. That is ludicrous. I understand they've coached against each other in two Super Bowls, and they're even. They're 1-1, okay? That is just absolutely insane. Not to mention, most people also look at Nick Sirianni and his situation. And look, he gets credit for winning the Super Bowl. That's the way it works. But also, he doesn't call the plays. He doesn't call the offense or defensive plays. What does he actually do? Like, Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota hadn't been to a Super Bowl yet. I would a million times rather have Kevin O'Connell as my head coach. He calls the plays. Andy Reid calls the plays. We can go down the list of head coaches in the league that either call the plays on offense or defense or have somewhat of a heavy role in that. I don't know what Nick Sirianni does. He's way down the list of coaches I would choose to hire. The idea that there's even a debate between Andy Reid and Nick Sirianni is ludicrous.
This might be one of those takes that I don't think Kevin Wilds actually believes. There is no universe. I don't think we could find a person outside of the city of Philadelphia.
Even there, man.
And even there, because they had Andy Reid before. And even there, I'm not totally sure you could talk him into it. I'm not sure anywhere, and I'll give Philly out of the conversation.
Big Dom might do more than Nick Sirianni there, honestly.
Like
your guy.
Oh my God! There's just no way that Kevin Wilds believes this. You can't say with definitive case that the man who has been to like 40,000 conference title games and won 3 Super Bowls and been to 6 now between the two teams he's been at has been coaching for 20-30 years. You can't be sure he's better than Nick Sirianni, a guy who legitimately Philly fans wanted fired 12 months ago.
Which one's worse?
They wanted his ass canned before the start of last season.
Now, he said he thinks he would still answer that it's Andy Reid. He just says it's not definitively clear. I think it is definitively clear. What's common is worse. I think this is worse than earlier in the week when we had Ryan Clark saying Joe Burrow's the best quarterback in football and it's not close. I think this comment about Andy Reid is actually worse. I think it's worse.
Yeah, probably.
Except for Ryan
Clark. And that one was really bad from Ryan.
And that was Ryan Clark saying, ignore the bad seasons from Joe Burrow. Let's just talk about the good ones. If we do that, then he's the best quarterback, which didn't make any sense the way he described it.
I mean, but that's essentially the same argument that he's making about Nick Sirianni. Hey, can we just forget about the bad season that Nick Sirianni has had? And then you can know that he's the best coach in there. And it's just like there's so many other things, including the fact that I think for 3 years in a row, including the year that the Chiefs beat him in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
The Philadelphia Eagles have had the best roster in football this, like, whole time. And so, like, I do think that that is of note in the time in which he's done it. Has he maintained a pretty good team? Yeah. His teams won 9, 14, 11, and 14 games. They also, the entire time he's been the head coach, I don't think he's as bad as I originally thought, if that makes sense. I was pretty down on Nick Sirianni. I thought maybe he was holding that team back. They've been to 2 Super Bowls. They won one. Hard for me to make that argument anymore. He's got to be probably somewhere in the top 10 coach category, even, if we're doing it. But you're right. If you let me choose the coach, there are a lot of dudes I'm getting to before Sirianni, and not just because he's a jerk. Like, but just because he doesn't do enough for me to be sure that he's the sole responsibility for why
the situation he's in is unbelievable.
It's the most ideal situation in the league.
I honestly now thinking how many off top of my head I'm trying to go through.
So obviously, like,
no, I'm trying to think off the top of my head.
Patrick Mahomes is probably still a better situation.
No, but I'm trying to think off the top of my head. Coaches that I would choose before I would get to Nick Sirianni still. Andy Reid, Kevin O'Connell, Sean McVay. I would choose Mike Tomlin over him.
Shanahan for me.
Kyle Shanahan is five already. Campbell? Cash is quick off the top of my head. Dan Campbell, I would choose Dan Campbell. Absolutely. JT, that's six just real quick at this point in time.
Vrabel. Would you take Vrabel?
No, I wouldn't take Vrabel over.
That's tough. That's probably further down the list, though. I wouldn't put Vrabel as, like, seventh on that. Who am I missing?
Jim Harbaugh, Tomlin. Did you mention any of those guys?
Yeah, I mentioned Tomlin. I'd take both Harbaughs.
Both Harbaughs?
Yeah, I'd already take I'd take both Harbaughs.
I need to see more on John before I guess. I'd probably have to take Sirianni over John, I guess.
What about Sean Payton?
Yep, I would take Sean Payton.
I would take Sean Payton, yeah. Again,
Pete Carroll, I'd take Pete Carroll.
See, that's where
I get to Nick
Sirianni. This is where essentially, like, I'm in the Syria. That's what I'm saying. Like, he's a top 10 coach, but it's like.
He's like the 12th best coach.
But he's like 10.
He's like, yeah, he's 10 to 12, fine.
It's like the opposite of the old thing. Yeah, I take him over Raheem Morris or Jonathan Gannon, but like, and Dave Canales. There's like 15 coaches I can pretty quickly eliminate. But then, yeah, once you start tossing around, would you rather have him or Pete Carroll
today, that's the point,
not
Cody.
Pete Carroll's entire career? Well, then, yeah, okay, maybe I'll have an argument.
But that's the point. That's how crazy what Kevin Wilde says. When it's not clear that Andy Reid's better than Nick Sirianni. What are we talking about? We just went through and, like, even if you want to give him the eight, there's at minimum seven or eight coaches that are better than Sirianni. And that's being nice, and obviously one of them is Andy Reid.
Andy Reid has a chance to go down as the single greatest coach of all time. I'm not saying he will, but there will be people who make that argument for Andy Reid. We don't have to get in fake arguments about him and Nick Sirianni. Could you at least, and this is always my argument, could you at least make it a coach that I can have an argument about? Can you at least, when you choose the coach that you're like,
Sean McVay, I can't
even be sure that he's better. Yeah, give me someone that we can have a little debate on. Sean McVay's got a Super Bowl championship. He's largely considered one of the best offensive minds in the NFL. Like, can we at least get somebody that I can, like, kick somebody around on? Sean McVay is my absolute dream move. I hope he retires. I hope Andy Reid retires 5 years from now, and then Sean McVay comes out of retirement to be the Kansas City Chiefs head coach. That's my dream scenario, truthfully.
This text that just came in is either someone just trolling or as an Eagles fan. It says, if the Eagles didn't get robbed of a Super Bowl, Andy and Sirianni would have the same amount of rings. Go Birds. Okay.
Andy isn't
okay.
That good.
My favorite part
were they robbed?
Okay.
My favorite thing about the whole clip that we didn't even get to, at the very end, Kevin Wilds made Nick Wright almost fall out of his chair because Wilds goes, Sirianni has a better record than Andy Reid does since Sirianni became the head coach. And I thought Nick was going to lose it because it's not true. It was like,
yeah,
oh,
that
my.
Can't be true. The Chiefs just also won 15 games this
right.
past year.
And he was like, well, you have to dethrone something. They just lost the Super Bowl by a blowout to the Eagles. So they can't have the best coach, the best quarterback,
again,
best defense. I'm like, dude.
They can't lose the third Super Bowl in a row after winning the previous two and no longer have the best coach and quarterback? Yeah, that makes sense.
The Chiefs continue on a national scale to get penalized more for getting their butts kicked in the Super Bowl than if they would have lost in the divisional round. It's the dumbest thing. It's the dumbest thing.
Yeah, when, you know, 2 years ago when Andy was winning the Super Bowl, Nick Sirianni's team was getting knocked out in the divisional round. Are we just ignoring that portion of it, even though they were an 11-win team? And I'd like to point out that was a 9-10-0 team, as you remember, Gold,
yeah,
that fell apart on Nick Sirianni. That's why people were up against it. Not fell apart and lost in the Super Bowl like the Chiefs did. Fell apart and lost in the divisional round, which is a slightly different round. Also, the Chiefs have won 15, 11, 14, and 12 games, and I already gave you Nick Sirianni's last 4 years. There's just no way that's an accurate statement.
Let's get to JT's camp questions. He's filled in for Drew this week, who is out of the Outer Banks. We'll get to Drew in a second because I don't know if you saw it. Maybe we can wait till he's back in town. He tweeted something yesterday that has to be discussed when he comes back. But JT,
I'm not up to date on
JT, let's get to our three camp questions.
Camp questions.
All right, guys. Well, it's my last time doing this with you, so I had to bring out some.
The Drew's back?
Drew's back. So I had to bring out some big, big questions for you.
All right.
What veteran player or player from last year's Chiefs squad will get cut before the season starts?
It has to be a veteran on the team last year.
Honestly, I said this, Gold, you might remember this now.
Say that again, JT. Did I hear that correctly?
Either a veteran that we signed this offseason or a Chiefs player that was on the team last year.
Okay, so this was probably a month, 2 months ago. I had this conversation with you, Gold, and I, at that time, told you I didn't think Joshua Williams was making the team. Nate didn't convince me that he is making the team, so my answer is still Joshua Williams.
Yeah, but they keep like they don't just keep three corners though. Like, I mean, he could be fifth and he still makes the team.
Yeah, but that'll still be my answer for now. I mean, he either gets traded or something, or he's just not a
Sky Moore.
He's not a Chief.
Sky Moore is the easy answer here, right? I mean, Sky Moore is the obvious guy that's going to get cut that's been on the team for a couple years.
Have you considered that?
Fine.
He's still technically on the team.
I don't think he's missing a month due to the hamstring though. I think he'll just get cut. One of those, what do they call it, injury settlement things?
Yeah, one of those. Okay, so Sky Moore and Joshua Williams. Okay, What's next?
Well, mine would have been Carson Steele, but
Carson Steele. I think he'll be on the practice squad, so he'll not on the 53-man roster, but I do believe he will technically be a member of the Chiefs organization.
Okay. So my next question is more to do with Nico Remigio.
That's a fun name to say.
Right. Are we maybe not paying enough attention to him or the battle with Sky Moore for the kickoff with the updated rules this year with the touchback being to the 35?
Look, I like Nico Remigio. I think he flashed last year a little bit. But as we were discussing with Nate, I mean, again, we're talking about like the sixth receiver on the team. So I think he gets discussed properly.
Some of the other guys we've discussed improperly. Look, the truth is the kick return could look different this year. We don't know. Last year they told us it was going to look different, and by the time the dust settled, there were more kick returns, but not that many more, which means it didn't really fundamentally change. Nico Remigio is obviously, and I think fairly obviously, their best kick returner. He's one of their better punt returners as well, and certainly better than Sky Moore at those jobs. But yeah, I don't need to spend a lot of time talking about what contribution he'll make outside of kick return. I'm more just waiting and seeing on how much different it is, because there is still part of me, Gold, that thinks even though that 5 yards should make a difference, makes a huge difference in the statistical chance of a team scoring, because it made a statistical difference between somebody at the 25 and the 30.
Yeah, I want it at the 40.
There is still part of me that thinks a couple of nice kick returns will happen and a bunch of teams just decide to boom this thing out of the back of the end zone again.
I don't know if they made it enough of a deterrent. And for those saying the 40 would be too much, yeah, that's the point.
Put the ball in play.
The whole point is you're trying to get kickoffs. We'll see, JT. But yeah, I think Nico Remigio, his value to the team, I think it gets discussed properly.
Yeah, I was talking more about should we pay kick more return. Attention about kick returning it. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. I mean, I'm waiting and seeing on it.
Now, my last question for you, since it's my last camp question, is this. Who would you want to bunk with up there if you were staying up in St. Joe?
From the station?
No. Okay, or we came with the station, but I was thinking player.
Oh, that's a little weird.
Station. You've stayed in a hotel with Dusty, and you've stayed in a hotel with me.
Yeah.
Let me think.
It's easier. Who do you not want to
at the station?
Sorry. I'm saying I'm not.
You honestly not just because we're co-host. I know you won't cause any major problems.
Yeah.
Like you're higher on my list because like we're not gonna run into a lot of issues, right? A couple of 6 weeks, probably a little long. And because we do 4 hours together, it might not be the answer because we might want to, like, strangle each other at the end of it if in addition to it we had to stay up at training camp. I'll give the surprising answer. Steven Spector, I'll say, wouldn't be that bad of a roommate. Feels like he would handle his business appropriately.
Would you get sick of the outdated Seinfeld jokes? Would that annoy you after a while?
I'll put headphones on, I'll put headphones on.
I'm trying to think.
I'd also probably get along with Rob Britton okay in that situation, I think.
It would be you or probably Dusty, I think, that I would answer.
I've never stayed anywhere with Dusty, so I'm not sure.
My answer would be Dusty, so.
How about that? Dusty getting a lot of love here.
Wow.
Well, me and Dusty went to UCM. I know he's a little bit older than
you. Okay. That is the three camp questions. Luckily, when we're going to Vegas next month, or not next month anymore, here in a couple weeks, I should say, we have our own room, so we don't have to worry about this.
No. Problem solved. Well, I mean, the worst one was Miami Super Bowl. There were like eight of us staying. I slept on a couch. You slept on an air mattress. There were seven of us or eight of us or whatever it was in one room. How many of us was there? There were Bob and Josh, Ryan, Me, you, Carrington, Levine, and I think BK at one point. So eight?
Yeah.
Eight
but we had a full Airbnb. We just had it cleared out on the weekend. We had a little more space, but that's true.
That was tight.
That's a good point. I forgot about that.
That was a lot of people, man. We stayed with
that's the last time I slept on an air mattress.
Well, I would hope so. You're
and hopefully
30s.
The last time ever.
Yes, obviously.
Hopefully the last time ever.
I've got one if you really need to borrow one,
no,
apparently.
I never want to sleep on an air mattress again. They talked at camp this year. They brought everybody new mattresses.
Yeah, they partnered up with the mattress
Everybody
company.
Has their own mattress. Like instead of having to deal with the camp ones, and some of the vets brought their, but now everybody has the same
I'd
mattress.
Love a new mattress. You know how expensive those things are?
Oh, very expensive, yeah. How old's your mattress?
I don't know, like 7 years.
Okay. Mine is...
It's right at that fringe.
Mine's actually probably like 6 years old as well, yeah.
Yeah, it's about that time, man. But they're like
it's fine.
$1
it's going 10 at least. Come on. I know they recommend X amount of... No, my mattress is gonna last for at least 10 years. I'm not changing it anytime soon. It's fine.
I feel like I want to change mine soon. I don't know what kind, though.
Well, you let other people randomly stay and sleep in your bed, so that's a different story. I'd get a new mattress, too. You had Kramer staying and sleeping in your bed.
Yeah, I don't care. It's fine. You know? Maybe Kramer's my answer. Does he count as someone at the station? He's in the building.
Sure. Go ahead. That works.
New answer from AJT, Kramer.
All right, up next, we'll get back into the Royals a little bit and how effective the trade deadline is going to be short-term and long-term, plus the random question of the day here on 96.5. Back here on Cody and Gold, we will get to the random question of the day. What were you doing over there, man?
I just took a leisurely stroll to the restroom. Nothing crazy. I guess I should have moved a little faster. I don't know. Just barely made it back in time. Honestly, it was one of those, like, the weather's so nice, I just didn't feel like I wanted to be in a hurry.
You just took your time, huh?
Just walked slow. And I'm usually a pretty fast walker.
Yeah, you are.
I like to walk quick. I like to waste time.
Hey, look, you made it back, essentially. If it wasn't for the noise of the rustling of the headset, nobody would have known.
No one would have known.
Nobody would have known, man.
I could have. If I had made it 5 seconds earlier, none the wiser. Yeah. The random question today, it's personally
a good
impacted
one?
Me today.
Oh. So like, you need help? Or?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. I need help about how I should feel.
Okay.
About
so, all right. All right.
So.
All right. We'll learn that one together here.
Another
in about
mystery maybe to solve too.
10 minutes.
You know? Nobody's figured out who Becca is yet for me.
That's true. We are a half hour away from. We'll call it a happy hour Friday. No fan club officially on remote. We'll have a happy hour thanks to our friends over at Circa Sports and Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. We, of course, will be in Vegas later on this month. Join us for contest weekend. It is an unbelievable time. If you're going to do the contest anyway, that's the time to join us. We're going to be out there Wednesday.
Great
I believe that's
weekend.
The 20th. We're flying out there after the show on the 20th.
Yep.
We'll be there on Thursday the 21st, Friday the 22nd, broadcasting live. And if you haven't entered a national contest before, you know you're doing your picks each week, maybe. You're already doing a Survivor League. How about you do a national contest? You don't have to live in Nevada, enter. You just enter in Nevada. You join us out there, sign up, have a great time, hang out, and hopefully you are surviving throughout the entire season. I think we're going to do a show entry for the Circa Millions contest, which is 5 picks against the spread each and every week. But we'll tell you more about that in the 1 o'clock hour today as well.
Can't wait, man. It's going to be a great time out there. As you well know, we hope you come out and join us. I'm still waiting for those Backstreet Boys tickets to...
They're over $400 now.
They're over $400 now? I was waiting for them to go lower.
The same night.
They're getting higher?
Yeah, Backstreet Boys at the Sphere, over $400. Bruno Mars is also there. $400 for those. So it's a little pricey, Cody. Little pricey.
All right, we'll get to the random question, as you said, in just a few minutes. But let's talk about the incredibly busy trade deadline for the Kansas City Royals. Here's a reminder of everything they've done, not just yesterday. They have added Adam Frazier, Randall Grichuk, Ryan Burgert, Stephen Kolek, Bailey Falter, and Mike Yastrzemski. They have traded away what I can only deem is a bunch of players you had never heard of until yesterday in Freddie Vermeen. Cam Devaney, who I know you guys heard of him because I had to go through the whole thing. Andrew Hoffman, Evan Sisk, Callan Moss, Junior Marte, and eventually Freddie Vermeen. I know, like, I usually try to, and you two, the same. I don't try to make everything's the greatest thing in the world, everything's the worst thing in the world. There is reason for nuance. This was a fantastic trade deadline by J.J. Piccolo and the Royals, in my opinion. They not just addressed the fifth starter need, they hammered it. And they hammered it for what I think was way, way better value on their end. I am not saying Freddie Fremien meant nothing to this team or has no value. What it reminded me, though, is the Royals had so much kept catching depth and the rest of the league had so little that the Padres were willing to, I think, way overpay with the two pitchers they sent to the Royals. Two guys, both with at least 2 years of control, 125, 128, both who have major league starter experience and relief experience, and both guys who could start for you for multiple years and have been good so far this year, or at least average in one case so far this year. I thought that got tremendous value for Freddie Fremien, which is why they had to make that decision. Maybe I like the give back on Mike Yastrzemski a little bit less, but they needed one more bat, and they got that in Yastrzemski.
The moves that they made are the reason why you like them, and the reason why it makes a ton of sense is you were able to not jeopardize your future while also, I think, making your 2025 roster a little bit better. And then it also sets yourself up on the pitching front where we could be talking a year from now and also even in 2027 about a couple of these pitchers that they acquired helping this team. And if we have issues with hitting development, that's one thing. Where I don't have issue is pitching development. And a couple of these guys they brought in have starting experience, but I also think this staff is capable of getting them to a spot where they're even better, right? I'm not saying they're all going to turn into Cole Reagans, okay? That's obviously the prime example of it working out. But I do think Brian Sweeney and this staff, this organization has shown at big league talent evaluation at the pitcher spot, they're pretty damn good at that. There's plenty of other things you can be critical of, and obviously the development of hitting is the biggest thing for me. But when it comes to making a trade with a big league team for their big league talent that is at the pitching level, I'm talking about pitching, I should say, they've had great success there. And so I think they're one of these guys pitching-wise they traded for, I think we're going to be sitting here a year from now even and saying, wow.
Wow, what a deal.
I really believe that. My pick for that in particular is going to be him. Yeah, it's going to be Ryan Burgert a little bit over Bailey Falter. Falter, to me, will have the success quicker. Like this year, Bailey Falter might have a little more success than Burgert, although I think you know you're going to get five innings from him. They needed pitching depth for this year and beyond. And yeah, Freddie Fremien is a hell of a baseball player, and everybody loves him. But when you have depth at a position, you have to use that depth to your advantage. And I think they did that by executing the trade that they made with the Padres. And the reason why, grade-wise, I give it an A- and not an A is only because of what you highlighted a little bit, which is Yastrzemski going to be a straight platoon, it looks like, with Randall Grichuk. And you get a two-month rental, and you gave up a top 20 prospect. That's the only reason why it's
like
A minus. But he's not even a top 30 prospect. We looked it up for the Pirates, so that's why it's. I think they executed the trade deadline very smartly with how they approached it.
If you think of it at just like 30 times 30, and he's like middle of the road, he's like this 500th best prospect.
I know, but there's no such thing as a perfect trade deadline. So
no, I know. And so like, but no, that's very, my point. That's why good, I like it. That's why it's deadline. Borderline. I think it almost. I mean, yes, you're right. It can't be perfect because they didn't, like, really solve major problems, right? They didn't go out and get the ace of the league and the best hitter, and they were 14 games above 500.
It's hard to be upset at all.
Considering their circumstances, I think they did do nearly perfect. Maybe not, yeah, 100 out of 100, but, like, 97 out of 100. If you let me build out a dream scenario in which I would have said, you can have all these players and give up what I think is next to nothing other than Freddie Fremien. Well, then I feel really good about it. Again, Callan Moss, he's like, I don't know, 23 in A-ball. Junior Martin, he's not a top 30 prospect for the Royals. Andrew Hoffman, Cam Devaney, Evan Sist, those are just dudes. Those aren't even what you call prospects. The teams don't even talk like them like they're prospects. They just talk about them as people in their system.
Sure.
So, like, there's a difference for the way that those guys are viewed. And, so I thought yesterday they weren't going to make the playoffs. I still think today. I wouldn't predict them to make the playoffs. But if I thought they had a 10% chance to make the playoffs yesterday, I think it's 20 today.
Ooh.
They have a
10%?
Much better chance to make the playoffs today than the chance I gave them yesterday to make the playoffs.
So they got better. I'll 100% with you. They got better yesterday. I don't think, you know, is it 10% better? Because I don't know about that. I mean, it doesn't really matter. We're just playing a guessing game percentage-wise.
Yeah.
But I don't know about 10% better. Like, I don't care whether you thought it was 30% and now 40%. I don't know. To me, they got like a couple percentage points more. Like if they have 11% chance, it's probably like 13 to 15%. Like so, they got better. Mission accomplished in that regard. I don't know if it's enough to say they got 10% better by getting Yastrzemski, basically, and a pitcher or two. I think long term for 2026, I think that actually is where they improve the most, because now you go into an offseason pitching-wise where you feel better, plus a little bit of security given the fact Bubich will be coming off of an injury. You don't know 100% how that's going to turn out. It provides you some more flexibility for a future trade in the offseason. So I think it's a lot better for 2026 even. It helps them in 25, but I actually think what they did yesterday is what sets up 26 even better.
26, they are, once again, they got plenty of depth at starting pitching, but that's the problem. They had it last year, too, and they had it this year. Going into this year, they had starting pitching depth. I know you're like, did they, though? They had, like, 78 injuries. No team has starting pitching depth that goes that deep. And because they know all their good depth now is 18, 19, 20 years old, now that whole, like, they have to sign Rich Hill or Dallas Keuchel to just go fulfill AAA starts, this trade alone prevents that problem from taking place, at least, for the rest of this year. So, like, yes, these deals make sense. They gave up, I think, very little. And look, I do feel bad for Freddie Freeman in the sense that he's a great teammate, he's a great dude, and I think it's, I'm going to miss him here in Kansas City. That stinks. But this is a deal you have to make. Gold, you and I both know, and the Royals know this too, the single best position of depth in their entire organization is catching. Matter of fact, they have the best catching depth in all of Major League Baseball. It also turns out that Major League Baseball covets catchers because good ones are hard to come by. That's why Martin Maldonado was starting for one of the World Series favorites before yesterday when they traded for Freddie Freeman. So, like, it's hard to find. This goes back to the same reason you and I both think that this offseason should be spent trading either Blake Mitchell or Carter Jensen to make their team in 2026 a real threat to win a World Series.
Go get an outfielder.
To a real threat to win the American League Central. Because if that's what Freddie Freeman's value is, you can't tell me that there's not crazy value for Blake Mitchell or Carter Jensen in this league. There's got to be a real thirst.
Well, and depending on the team that you're talking about, if someone needs an immediate catcher, like in 2026, that would be him. Blake Mitchell is probably a little bit further down the road.
Yeah, sure.
So you have
to find the team that's not wanting to compete next year, but
correct.
Wants a catcher eventually. Sure.
But I think that is clearly where they're setting themselves up in the offseason to be ready to make a big-time trade like that. But yesterday, I think, was overall a very nice win for the Royals organization. And now let's get back to focusing just on 2025. They've got a huge 9-game road trip that starts tonight in Toronto against the Blue Jays, a very, very good Blue Jays team. And what do they do on this road trip? Sets things up to where when they come back home, they get the Nationals and the White Sox. Can they, as we said yesterday, 5-4, 4-5 worst case scenario road trip, where you come back and you're hopefully still in the same 3 to 3.5 games back range, and can you make some room, I should say, in the wild card standings when you get back on the homestand against two teams in the White Sox and Nationals that are obviously some of the worst in baseball.
Come on,
the Nationals also traded like 4 players, I think, yesterday.
Yeah.
The White Sox traded a couple players as well. Although Luis Robert did not end up moving, right?
Yeah, that makes no sense. Why wouldn't you trade Luis Robert yesterday? Although, in fairness, who could make any trades? Was there anybody left to trade after the Twins traded 99% of their entire Major League roster?
You see that update from Front Office Sports today that they think that this is enough, like, the Twins are also going to be sold here very, very quickly.
See, this is what's so gross. This is why, again, you should be happy about the trade deadline. Even if you're not, like, thrilled with the – for whatever reason, you're not thrilled with the guys they gave away, which you should be. It's fine. Would you rather be in this situation? By all accounts, they traded away Carlos Correa. And they owed him, they sent $33 million to continue paying Carlos Correa to the Houston Astros. They then made 9 more players available who they traded away gold, who equaled roughly, just so it turns out, quick math, $33 million.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to actually pay Carlos Correa. They just want to profit off the sale of the team. And so, like, and people would be like, well, the Twins have been a better run organization. No, they haven't been. Over the last 10 years, the Royals have won the World Series and been to the playoffs 3 times. In the last 10 years, the Twins have been to the playoffs 3 times. And the Royals actually have a better chance of making the playoffs than the Twins do in this year. The Royals have been a better team than the Twins. I don't care that they traded everyone away. Like, you should do that and reset. Why? The Twins haven't been a better organization than you, and they certainly don't have the World Series. But they haven't even been just going to the playoffs more than you.
Yep.
So, nah, I'm good. Yeah, don't mention that team when you're mentioning teams that are better run than the Royals.
Yeah, I was just laughing. Like, there's some names. Someone was already throwing out a name in the offseason. have to be realistic.
Is it Shohei, or what do we think?
Not quite that level, but someone says trade Bubich and a catcher for Pete Crow Armstrong. The Cubs are not trading PCA, okay?
I wish they were.
We just got done talking about the Cubs weren't wanting Jaren to part Durant. Ways with the Cubs weren't wanting to part ways with their number one outfield prospect. I wish you could. I would do that trade in a heartbeat in the offseason that you texted in. There's no chance in hell the Cubs are giving up Pete Crow Armstrong
and his many years of control
in a catcher. There's no freaking chance.
I'll tear it now.
If I were the Royals, I would do it immediately.
So
PCA is about to be a star and is also, based on what we've seen interaction on the All-Star stuff,
seems like
a really good dude. The Cubs are not. You don't move on from a player like that.
And I know we don't like talking about how wow prospects really panned out. But man, the Mets have to think about what they did. They traded PCA for 2 months of Javier Baez. Oh, that is just gonna stink,
man. It happens sometimes. You know, and if you'd won the World Series, you wouldn't care.
That's the key.
I don't care. I don't care what any of the players. The Royals pitching depth was hurt for like 5 consecutive years because of the trades they made.
Got
to
win
the World Series. You win the World Series, then you.
I mean, in the NFL, look at the Rams a couple years ago. They went all in, but they won a ring. So who cares?
Yeah.
Now they've also still been very competitive since. They're a very well-run organization. But remember when the shirts they had was like F them picks,
mm-hmm.
like. But they won a Super Bowl, so it all worked out. All right, let's get to it, JT.
Random question.
Random question of the day brought to you by Kansas City Urology Care at KCUC. Remember, you see the best in KC. Visit kcurology.com today. For you, Gold, for you, JT, text line 913-586-7965. Always remind you, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook, live stream the show 4 hours every single day. Matter of fact, every show is live streamed over there. Go like and subscribe on Twitch or on YouTube. Pop to the top of your feed. Never miss any part of the show. All right. I need you guys to tell me whether I should be upset or not. It was discovered this morning by my wife. Apparently, my lack of observation skills leaving the house did not tech. There is a little side part of our yard by our driveway. Gold, you've been to the house. There's this little part of the side. It's kind of like on the back side of the backyard by like a fenced-in area of the backyard by the back deck. And there's a tree there. It's not looking great, and we're kind of sick of it, but... You know, like, we were like, oh, okay, we'll get the tree guy that we call out here to give us a quote here pretty soon and figure out what it would take maybe to just get rid of the tree. Because it doesn't look like it's long for this world, right? Doesn't look healthy enough, doesn't look long for this world. To my surprise this morning, the tree has been cut down.
Huh?
So, while I understand I now do not have to pay to have this tree cut down, which I was considering.
Yeah, that's a win.
I do not yet know who cut the tree down. We have contacted the city of Gladstone that we live in. They said, we didn't cut it down. We have contacted the property that is behind our house, which is like a small apartment complex.
Uh-huh.
They have not responded yet. Don't know if they cut it down. My concern, should I be upset that somebody entered my property, cut down my entire tree, or happy that they just cut down a tree that I was probably going to cut down anyway?
Short term, very happy. You saved a lot of money not having to pay to have the tree that you wanted to get cut down, cut down. Long term, I'd be concerned that someone just thinks they can come and cut down your tree.
But the short
term is a big win because you might have saved $800 or $1,000.
I think that tree, it was kind of a smaller tree. Okay. Not like a huge, huge one. I'm thinking it was like a $500 to $700.
Okay. My guess is what happened. If the apartment complex is behind you, they maybe already were getting stuff trimmed, and for some reason, the landscape company or whatever just did it without
the
apartment.
From the 816, thank your lucky stars and go on with your day. But what if it's just a neighbor who didn't like the sight of it, and they think they can enter my property and cut down the tree?
Yeah.
Then no good.
True.
Screw you. You don't get to just cut down my tree. I decide when the tree's no good anymore.
Yeah.
And no note. Check the mailbox. Check the front of the house. Trying to see if somebody was like, whoops-a-daisy, cut your tree down, or look like it was going to fall.
Was it
somebody claims
enough?
Maybe it was Evergy?
Was it tall enough to impact power lines or anything?
It's not far from a light post, but it wasn't touching the light post either. Shouldn't they tell me they're cutting it down?
I would
interesting.
Think
Could be
so.
Evergy. Oh.
You can't just go in someone's yard and cut a tree down. Again, like I said, long-term, I'd be concerned. Short-term, take the fact that you didn't have to spend a bunch of money on the tree that you wanted trimmed anyway.
I'll be honest, Cody.
You think this is just a win?
I would not care. I'd be like, yeah, it's gone. I would not care, but I'm also a 24-year-old who would want to save his money.
So here's the problem. Here's the problem, JT, with just being like, sweet, I didn't want the tree. Problem solved. But I would just like...
The stump removed too?
The No, Stump was still there. Okay. They didn't grind it
I was
down.
Like, wow, that'd be. That would be. I mean, wow.
Honestly, that might soften it a little bit more. They went that far down the list. But, like, the way, I got to say, it's my concern, JT, and I understand your general thing, like, somebody took care of a problem. Sweet. But let's just say, like, let's say, what if it was one step further? Let's say, house looks like it used a little paint. And you came home and your house was painted. No good, man. You can't just be taking care of things you think are your responsibility. So I'm a little bit worried maybe that's not the case. Somebody said, do any of the neighbors have any cameras? Yeah, she doesn't know what it is either. Okay. We're both working to try to figure it out.
I have this image in my head, and it's weird, but I'm having the image, Cody, that maybe one of your kids, like, told someone, and they just, like, oh, we'll come over and do it, and your kid just goes, yeah, I'll do it. And then they just came over and cut the tree without you
guys
even knowing.
We just got buzzed by a plane. My goodness. Can you guys hear that?
Got a personal flyover for Cody and Gold.
My goodness. That thing was flying low right over.
Texan suggesting I go into the neighbor's yard and cut their trees down as revenge.
But how do we know it was the neighbors? Like, we don't know that.
Somebody says, I would just encourage anyone who thinks they can pay to cut
my
trees.
That's weird.
But I don't want all my trees cut down. Some I just want trimmed. I like the shade. I want the trees in my yard.
Yeah. The utility part is the question. That'd be the one question, is if somehow you were impacting utilities. That'd be the only thing, I guess.
So, yeah, multiple people said, Evergy cut down my tree with no notice. Definitely could be the energy company. Somebody said maybe it was just an overzealous tree company doing work, like you said, for the apartment, who maybe just didn't realize that one was across the line. Man, maybe it is. You know what? Maybe I'll contact Evergy. And now I want to know. I do want to know.
Do you not have a Ring camera in the backyard or anything
like that?
I don't.
I do want to know who cut it down, though. Because if it is an overzealous neighbor, we got to have a talk. You can't just be cutting trees down with no notice.
So I thought you had chainsaw sound effects for the segment. No, as Cody was talking, I kept pointing the sky. This plane,
like, what is this?
I don't know which base is nearby. Okay, someone will tell me on the text line. It was a military plane, but
and it was really.
I mean, this thing was clearly getting pictures or whatever of like the football, the Chiefs training camp. Okay, I mean it flew right over very, very low, like very low, like so noticeable that we were pointing it out. That was that loud noise, but I don't know, man. I think it's you got to find out what happened, but also I think you kind of lucked out, right?
You think
now.
I just take the win?
Mm-hmm.
Should I just go put it on black when we're in Vegas?
Sure,
free money, you know. I mean, I was expecting to pay to have this tree removed, and then all of a sudden,
yeah,
not so fast. Got to be free and easy. I do like that the tree's gone. I wanted the tree gone, but I want to know who cut it down. Somebody says Evergy would have contacted me. I'm getting mixed results.
Also,
would Evergy have contacted me saying that they had cut the tree down? Because the city didn't and said they didn't cut it down. I'm waiting to hear back from the apartments, and I didn't realize to contact Evergy to see if they had cut it down. What were we saying, JT?
I was going to say, do you have, like, a fence line around it? Because maybe they thought it was their property line and they cut it, like they're saying about the apartment complex?
Based on where this tree is, I do not believe there is any mistaking that it is my tree. Was my tree. It's gone now. I don't think there's any mistaking. The other part is, how did I not notice? I'm gone in the middle of the day. It could be gone. My wife works from home every day but one day of the week. So, like, did they cut it down and I didn't notice for 3 days? Am I that not observant that I didn't notice a tree gone from my house for 3 days? It's in a fairly obvious spot. I drive by it every time I park in the...
Someone says, find out who it is. Tree law is huge. Minimum $10,000 lawsuit.
There's no way. That's got to be a made-up sentence. There's no way tree law is huge.
10K, Cody.
Oh, wait. We just covered one on Trash of the Day
that
guy sued.
Yeah.
Because he cut all those trees down to get the view of the ocean.
If Cody ends up getting 10K out of this,
you're going to be so mad, aren't you?
Not mad. I'm just kidding. You got to be kidding me.
Oh, man. Someone says Evergy would have marked it months ago before cutting it. I would have, I was trimming around it, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that was the story we had was the 32 trees. In New Jersey. We had that story a couple.
Somebody says this feels like a huge humble brag. There's so many people who just want a tree cut off their property, and taking care of a tree is like a gajillion dollars.
Yeah.
It's so
very expensive. Very expensive. That is the random question of the day. Thank you, Textline. We were trying to remember what it was, a C-130 out of Rosecrans or whatever. That's exactly the plane that it was. And we've seen them before at camp. This one, though, was extremely low.
As low as I feel like I can remember seeing one.
To the point where you're like, what's going on? Like, not just, it was very, very low. And that was definitely the plan. Thank
Text
you.
Texline is asking for a Caitlin Clark card
bunch
update.
Of text all of a sudden. All right. It is Friday.
We said we'll do it every Friday. That way we don't bombard.
All right. So The auction ends next Saturday, all right? A week from tomorrow, the auction ends.
Things usually heat up on the final day.
I think it's going to be the final hour before anything. If it goes up, that's when it would go up. It has gone up since the last update, though.
Okay.
That was the pleasant
surprise.
Last update,
it was at $2,000.
Yeah, the pleasant surprise. Last Saturday, I got a couple bids. So it's at $2,750.
Okay.
With 8 days and 8 hours to go.
How many different people have bid? Can you see that?
It does not tell me that.
Okay. It says the total number of bids.
Correct.
But it does not say the total
Correct.
Number of people.
It's not eBay. It doesn't tell me who's bidding or anything. Just amount of bids, what time the bid was, and the bid dollar amount. Went from $2,000 to $2,100 and then jumped to $2,750.
Somebody says that I'm going to get more from my dead tree than your Caitlin Clark car. I'm not litigious enough to go sue a neighbor over one tree. I don't think. Also, I don't think they should still be cutting it down. All right, so $2,750, that's gone up.
Yeah, I was
that's
happy
up
to
$750
see,
from
I was
last
happy
Friday.
To see it. Like I said, I'm really not expecting anything until the final hour of the auction next Saturday night.
Okay.
They got a bunch of Caitlin Clark cards on display at the National Card Show going on in Chicago.
I kind of wish, like, in retrospect, you just carrying that thing around, PSA, that would have been fun.
Oh, just at the National,
you're
like
just
trying
at the
to
National
sell it there?
Sell
oh, I could have. I would have already
Clark.
Sold it there, yeah.
You think so?
If I was there, I would have, yeah, I would have already sold it. Someone said Goldie should have taken the money when you had the chance. Two things. One, in hindsight, I would have had to deal with the mess. There's a chance I end up getting less. But also, with any of these auctions, just like there's a card that's at $200,000 that's not going to sell for $200,000. It's going to sell for $500,000 or $600,000. Point being,
these things jump up.
I'm not saying it's going to get to $20,000, but also, like, it's not selling for $2,750 either.
Yeah.
So that's my, like, it's going to go up in the final day, in the final hour. To what extent, I don't know. That's the great mystery. But it's not going to sell for $2,750, I promise you.
That's the pressure.
Yeah,
the pressure of finding out. Yes?
The text line thinks it's Dusty. First it was the briefcase, and now it was your tree.
Dusty's not driving from Lee Summit all the way
just to cut down my tree? He didn't even know anything about the tree. That'd be the weirdest prank anyone's ever pulled on.
Someone says Becca's in the tree trimming business now.
She heard me talk.
Everybody's
about
looking for Becca because she's cutting down trees. That's what it is. Yeah,
yeah, you know, that could be it.
Mysteries
next, to be solved.
We will get to the 1 o'clock hour here live in St. Joe from Chiefs training camp practice. We'll hear what Josh Simmons had to say. You'll also hear our conversation we had earlier today with Noah Gray right here on 96.5 The Fan.